Come on, why don't you take a moment right now? Come on, let's just give Jesus a big hand. Unmuted. Testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2. All right, let me say that again. Come on, let's give a big hand to Jesus, because I tell you what, he deserves all the glory. Oh, man, I tell you what. Thank you, Wade. Those were very kind words. We had dinner with Wade and Cynthia and their family last night, and we got together at a local, one of the restaurants with a Louisiana flavor, watched the LSU game, and we left about halftime. And I really considered changing my message to one of forgiveness and how to break out of depression for all of you Florida State fans. But you guys pulled it out. Come on, somebody. Look, we know what it's like to lose a championship coach. And you're going to make it, I think. But there is life after the championship coach leaves, so don't worry about that. So, man, it's good to be back in Tallahassee with Emerge Church. Let me just say my wife is here, Vanessa. We're going to talk today about This Is Us. And I'll tell you what, this is the us. Aside from me and Jesus, me and her has been the most instructional thing I've ever done in my life. Can I hear a better amen from the guys? And so I appreciate her staying with me and putting up with me when I was young and stupid, and loving me now that I'm old and not as stupid. So I just want to honor, you know, Wade and Cynthia. Those guys were such great leaders for us back in the day. Come on, let me just say this. If you love your pastor, because here's what happens a lot of times in church, is people will say, you feel good feelings about them, and you'll come on a Sunday, and God will use him, or God will use the worship team, and it'll provide just the spark you need. You hear just the phrase, just the word, just the verse. Maybe God will speak to you just what you need. And a lot of times, we just leave. But let me tell you, good feelings that are unexpressed are useless. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that if somebody does something that encourages you, let them know. Send them a text, you know, an email or a card, whatever you like to do. But let them know that something they did made a difference. I tell you what, it makes all the difference in the world. And, Wade has asked me to come and speak as we open this series called This Is Us. And if the church is anything, it is relational. In fact, it is only relational. In fact, if you don't understand the relationship aspect of the church, you really don't get church at all. Because it's all about our relationship vertically with God. And then Jesus said, as important as that is, then he said equally as important is our relationship with each other. I mean, the man came to Jesus and said, you know, what's the most important commandment? He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And then the second is like unto it, or as important as it, love your neighbor as yourself. And too often what we do, especially here in the Bible Belt of the South, we can focus vertically on us and God, and we sometimes don't give as much emphasis to the relationships that we have with one another, but God does. Above all else, church is all about relationships. I just want to echo what Pastor Cynthia said. You got e-groups starting. Get in an e-group. You're like, I've never done it. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know if they're going to love me. They're going to love you. You're going to grow like you never thought that you would. Because why? Because people grow best in relationships. That's how we grow best. And so I would just encourage you to do that. I told somebody this morning that Wade thinks we came to preach, but really we came to see my niece and her little baby Anderson. But it's so good to see them and Kevin. I saw Kevin leading, man. I don't know where you at, Kevin, but great to see you and some of the folks that we know from home. And you know Wade and Cynthia have to be special for us to let some of those people come all the way to Tallahassee, Florida. Good God. You know, Leave the confines of crawfish and all the good stuff we have in Louisiana. And so, you know what? I just want to encourage you. God's doing something. I feel it. I sense it, that God's doing something. And we're just happy to be a part of it, to be able to invest a little bit. And really, as we stay in relationship with Wade and Cynthia, I just want to be on the front row, just watching, getting a front row seat to see what God's going to do. You know, I know in our context where we're at, I have now been the pastor for about 18 or 19 years. I'm not really good with dates, but 18 or 19 years, and we probably have just finished our best year ever. And Wade gave me a lot of good compliments. I tell you what, if there's anything good in my life, it's because of Jesus and it's because of men who have invested in me over the years, my father being number one and other men that have invested and continue to invest in me. But also, if I do one thing well, this is what I do well. I just keep showing up. Amen. I tell you what, if you just keep showing up, if you just keep running the play, you know, you may have seen that last night with Florida State. 3 yards. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm telling you, eventually you're going to break the big one as a church, and that's for you individually. So let's jump into this thing on relationships. And I want to talk to, because I, you know, when I first started, the way that I got into ministry at church, when you talked about relationships, and today I'm going to focus mainly on marriages, but really I'm talking about all kinds of relationships. But marriage is the relationship that is probably the most near and dear to our heart, and it's kind of at the forefront of everything. Because if that one's not good, it really doesn't matter about a lot of the other ones, actually. That one's difficult. And I know this morning I'm speaking to blended families. I am speaking to extended families, and I'm speaking to mended families. And so let's just ask God to help us today, because I'm going to use some word pictures, if you will, and actually some video pictures. And I kind of want to mimic what Jesus did when Jesus talked about the kingdom. Remember, he had come from heaven, so he had some experience what the kingdom was like. He had seen it firsthand, but the people on earth hadn't seen it. And a lot of times that's the way, some of you have never seen a healthy marriage. I grew up in a healthy marriage. Notice I didn't say perfect, I said healthy. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But there can be healthy. My wife and I have been married now 27 years. Come on, that's. I'll tell you, I have to clap for that one. And it looks like we're going to go the distance. And so let's pray. Father, we love you today, God. And God, as we imitate Jesus and just try to use common things, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have a moment with every person, no matter if they're a young person, a single person, a person who is divorced, or they are working through the challenges of blended families. They're working through the challenges of extended families and mended families. Father God, we know, God, that relationships are your heart. And the relationship that is probably, the relationship that is probably most of us can relate to because we're a product of it is this idea of marriage. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to use what I would say today, God, and make it better and speak to the hearts of the people that are here today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He used common things. So I want to do it. First thing I want to tell you is that marriage is like a pressure cooker instead of a vending machine. I think they have a pressure cooker there. Come on, how many of you know all the rage now of these Instapots. Come on, how many of you got an Instapot? You saw the commercial. Yeah, we bought one too. I don't think we've cooked one. We only cooked once in it. We didn't really like the meal. And it's in the cabinet. But marriage is like a pressure cooker. Now, I can remember back in the day, my mom canned vegetables. Does anybody even know what I'm talking about? Canning. Whoa, come on, a bunch of farmers in the house. At least you grew up on a farm. And so we have, when you talk about marriage, we tend to have this vending machine mentality. I'm in this relationship, and I want to push a couple of buttons, and I want to get what I want. And instead, after you're in these relationships, whether it's friendship or marriage or something else, we just expect it to work. And sometimes we get frustrated when it doesn't work. And I tell you, we think, well, you know, I'm married and this is what I want. And I don't understand why you're not on board with what I want. You know, in the early years of our marriage, it was so clear to me what we needed to do, how we needed to spend our money, where we needed to go on vacation. And I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that my wife, many times, she just didn't get it. You know, and I had many, many talks with the Lord about that. And I learned this the hard way, that marriage is a crucible for personal growth. I'm going to say that again because I'm not sure you received that well. Marriage, in all relationships, friendships, but marriage, because it's the most intense, it's a crucible for personal growth. That's why so many people describe marriage as being hard. But it's only hard if you're selfish. Really, it's only hard. In fact, all relationships are hard if you're selfish. And that's the area that God's trying to get people to grow. Now, single people, file that away. You're going to need that later. All right? Now, think about it. We have to get what we want, and that's why marriage sometimes seems hard. But you know what? If you can be content without getting what you want, then all of your relationships can be easy. And I tell you, here's the problem, is because we grow up with this Disney idea of what marriage is. It's amazing to me how much theology, this is proven, that people's theology is driven by movies and songs and popular culture. Because those visual images, you watch a Disney movie and, you know, she's a princess and he comes in, sweeps her off her feet, and they live happily ever after. And subconsciously, we begin to define marriage that way. And that's why God sends people like me along the way, and like Pastor Wade and Cynthia, and some of you, probably you have at least probably one or two marriage groups in those e-groups, and some there are those of us that are in here that have really learned some things about relationships. It's only hard if I choose to be selfish. One of the last big disagreements Vanessa and I had was vacation. You need to know this about Vanessa and I. We've been married 27 years. We are polar opposites. I mean, the only thing that we really have in common is we love God and we love our church and we love each other. But other than that, we are polar opposites. It's really true that opposites attract. I remember one time we were deciding on a vacation, and she liked the beach, or really she likes to go to big cities, and she wanted to go to a big city in the South. In the summertime, I'm tired of the heat in Louisiana. I wanted to go to the mountains where it's cooler. And so we were both so stubborn, we just didn't go anywhere. I went somewhere with a friend of mine, and so we didn't. You know, there are some things you should stand up for, but I'm just going to tell you, you can't stand up for everything. If you fight over everything, then you won't have the strength or the credibility for the important things. Some things are worth going to the mat for. Financial stability, I believe, is worth going to the mat for. I believe the spiritual direction of the home, I believe that's worth going to the mat for. But you can't fight over the toilet seat being up or down, garbage bags, you know, where they are, dirty clothes being in the hamper. Who's going to feed the dog? You know, are we going to eat in or are we going to eat out? Because if you fight over all of those things, then you're going to kill your marriage. See, it's hard to be heard if you shout all the time. Have you ever gotten a text in all caps and you're like, why are you yelling at me? Why are you yelling at me? Because whatever is routine becomes ignored. Whatever's routine becomes ignored. And so, you know what? There's ways around it. But what relationships do is they force us into growth. How? Well, using the steam of the pressure cooker, it uses steam in a sealed pot to cook faster. You're going to mature faster married than you will single. I thought I had a responsible job when I got married. You know, I was the principal of our school, our Christian school. My dad thought that would have been a good idea. I disagreed with him, but he thought it was a good idea, so we went with his idea. And I was the principal of the school. And, man, I thought I was doing well. And then I got married and found out, man, I was really an immature person. And my wife helped me see that. You're going to mature much faster in relationships. There's not even a word strong enough to describe how maturing having kids can be. Abigail, you're going to find out, my girl. And so it's like a pressure cooker. You know, you're in a closed, sealed environment, and God uses that superheated steam, and part of what God is doing in you, look, you maybe feel like you're coming to the end of the rope, but I'm telling you from God's point of view, God's saying, I'm seeing some growth. I'm seeing some growth, and you just got to stay in there. Here's another picture I wanted to show you. Marriage is like a funnel. Come on, you know funnels, they're wide at the top, and they're narrow at the bottom. And because relationships all start with attraction, that's the wide part. You know, it's so easy to be attracted. You know, it's been proven that when we begin to fall in love with someone and be attracted to them, our brain actually begins to malfunction. It does. You know, you've made the jokes about people that are being in love. You know, they just stupid in love. And that's actually scientifically proven. And that's because you cannot approach relationships analytically. Come on, anybody ever watch Big Bang Theory? You can't look like Sheldon and Amy. That is no way to approach a relationship. See, it's easy to get into, but the longer you stay in relationship, then the more the relationship cannot depend on attraction, but you got to have some real stuff. You've got to develop some real love. You've got to develop some real relational skills. Then control has to be shared. You know, when I was single, man, I ran my life. If I wanted to play basketball with the boys or spend my money on whatever, and then I married Vanessa, and she had a different idea about money. I'm like, furniture? Where is this coming from? House and furniture? Where is all this stuff coming from? And so you just don't feel the same for me. You know, people say, well, I tell you, the spark is gone. I just don't feel the love anymore. And I tell you, you know, and it's amazing how relationships change. In the beginning, you say things like, man, I used to think her laugh was so hot. You know, her laugh, she's just full of the joy of life. And then you get to the point where it's like, if she does that one more time, I'm going to stab her with a fork. And then, you know, the woman says about the man, his passion for Florida State football. It's just so full of life. I just love the passion that he exudes. And you're like, you know what? If he wakes the baby up one more time, I am going to kill him. Because things change. This is what it means to go down the funnel. You start with attraction. It means you're normal. Look, if you're going through that, you're not abnormal. You're normal. All right? You're normal. It's easy at the top. It's always easy at the beginning. You've got no history. You know, we've been a church for almost 50 years in our community. And we see these new churches come in, and we love them. We help them. And just recently, another church, they were the hot new church, and it was awesome. And you know what happens? Then you start making a few decisions. Everybody loves you till you make a decision. Because every time you make a decision, you know, people fall on one side or other of the decision. It's easy at the top, but it gets tougher as you go along. My wife's name is Vanessa, and it means butterfly. And her name fits her to a T. She flits around from person to person. She knows everybody. She is a great connector in our church. And I am not like that. I'm not a naturally relational person. I would be satisfied to be by myself a lot of the time. Now, I've gotten to be a lot more relational, and she's helped me with that. She's Cajun. And you got to know this about Cajuns. Cajuns hug and kiss about everything. I mean, we're going to Walmart. All right, man. And come here. Give me, bring it in, bro. And they give you a hug and a kiss. And you come back. You're back from Walmart. Here, come on. And they're kissing. And I wasn't raised like that. My family's not from Louisiana. We're transplants from other places in the United States. And we go there, and I mean, at first, I was just not used to being kissed all the time. I didn't get kissed that much by my mom. And now everybody's trying to kiss me. And so, man, she's so social and got along so well with people. I said, she's going to make a great pastor's wife. Well, what that becomes is, come on, woman, let's go. I'm trying to leave a place, and she's flitting around, loving on everybody, just really relational, you know. She used to think I was stable because, you know, I mean, I kind of knew early on where I was going, what my call was, and after I got right with God, I just kind of got focused. And then you know what that became? See, that's what it looks like when you're dating and when you're first married. But what that becomes is, this is what she would say to me, you never think you're wrong. That's what she would tell me. And it's amazing. It's the same character trait that before was attractive that becomes something else. Attraction is easy at the top of the funnel, but the longer you stay together, you've got to develop something different. Here's the third thing I want to help you understand. Here's the third thing. Marriage is a stress test. My background and training is as an engineer. And, you know, one of the things that they do in industry and all the products you buy, if they're a good product, is they test them over and over again and stress them to make sure they're going to stand up. I think they got a picture. I don't know if they showed it, but it's a stress test. And here's the deal. Relationships and marriage in particular, and I don't know, you may or may not agree with this, but I'll tell you, it's true. It doesn't cause issues in your life. It just exposes the issues in your life. And in, you know, marriage doesn't cause you to be angry. It just exposes if you have an anger issue. You know, if you always say, well, she pushes my button, well, that's because you might be one big button. I mean, maybe if we weren't covered with buttons, we'd do a little better. Your spouse doesn't cause your issues. You had them. You brought them into the marriage. I tell people all the time, anybody getting married in here, like you're engaged and you're about to get married? Okay, well, yes, in the back. Awesome. I always tell the couples, I'm doing a wedding, and I think it's next weekend. And I always tell them, look, there is no magic fairy dust at the wedding ceremony. Who you are before is who you are in the marriage. You know? And so men tend to, when they encounter problems, men tend to resort to anger and force. You know, I've got three boys and one daughter. And it's amazing to see how they handle life differently. Because my oldest son now is, he's 24. He just got married about a little over a year ago. And we have our first grand dog. It's awesome. It's a Doberman named Bear. He works. He's our youth pastor, and his answer to everything, he's a workout guy. His answer to everything is hit it harder, push harder, pull, just try harder. And that's kind of how men approach it. You know, if something's not working, just be more forceful. Women tend to, you know, they tend to withdraw and withhold and try to, you know, work things. I don't want to use the word I really want to use, which is manipulate. But they kind of try to work it from a roundabout way. So, and you know what? Chances are you never see it. But if you're seeing that, and especially the gentleman that amen me, if you hang around long enough, you begin to see that about yourself and also about the people that you're in relationship with. You just finally get close enough to see it. It was never like this before we were married. You know, we all have the choice to face things. And I've found that it's so much easier to do the hard work of facing things than to run away and find new things. I never forget, I had a woman, I was doing this character first deal at a government office in the place where we live, and just teaching character traits. And there was this one lady, a dear lady, and I'll never forget, I tell this story everywhere I go when I talk about marriage. She was on her third marriage, and she said, "Scott, if I'd known then what I know now," she said, "I would have worked harder on my first marriage." And she discovered something that a lot of people find out. And look, there's no condemnation in Christ. Some of you didn't even know Christ. But the truth is, it's always easier. I always say, you're going to experience pain in your life. Choose the pain you're going to experience. One of the reasons why I work out is because I choose the pain of discipline rather than the pain of being undisciplined. And you always have choices. And I'll tell you what, if you'll choose the pain of working out your marriage issues, it will help you avoid some of the other pains of not choosing that. That can and sometimes do occur in people's life. We've got a choice to do it. And again, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." You know, it's so easy to jump back to the top of the funnel and go back to the place. And with the dating apps, hey, let me tell you something, young people. Back in the day, we actually had to talk to people and ask them for their number and ask them on a date. You have no idea. Now you can just get on Tinder or what, you know, eHarmony or whatever. And look, we do. In fact, the marriage I'm doing this next weekend started off as a Tinder date. And they got a hold of God, and now they're getting married, and I'm excited for them. But there's no condemnation to those of you that may not have always done it right. I'm telling you, God loves you, but choose to understand that relationships are like a funnel. And it's easier at the top. Sometimes it gets a little more difficult the further you go along. But do the hard work of relationships. And whether that's small groups or whether that's church or whether that's marriage or friendships or work life, I'm telling you, in every one of those, you're going to find the longer you stay with something, the more God's going to give you to work on. Choose to work on it and God's going to bless you. Here's the last one, the fourth one. Marriage is like a ski slope. It's only fun when my skills keep pace with the steepness of the slope. And this one's very near and dear to my heart. How many of you have been skiing? How many of you have been skiing in here before? Come on. That's not me, but it could be. Vanessa and I, we got married 27 years ago. And I had been skiing with some friends the year before. And so we're both from Louisiana, so we very rarely see snow. So I said, I'm going to take her skiing for our honeymoon. And being the poor leader, I thought I was a great leader, but turns out I was a poor leader. We took a wrong turn off of the ski lift and ended up on a black diamond slope. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about, black diamond. Now, she had never skied, and I was too cheap to buy lessons for her. Ah, I'll teach you. We didn't have any money. I mean, I really wasn't being cheap. We were poor. And so I taught her what I knew, which took about 15 minutes. And we ended up on a black diamond slope. And as God is my witness, we almost divorced like day two of the marriage on the edge of a slope. And you know why it was so bad? Our skill did not match the steepness of the slope. Because as the slopes get steeper, things happen faster. Things happen faster. And, you know, you want to go on the slopes like when you're a beginner. The green slopes have names like this: homebound, the bunny slope. You know, those are calming. Yeah, I'll go homebound. That sounds good. But when you go on the black slopes, they have names like this: El Diablo, nuclear fallout, the atomic wedgie. You wanna avoid slopes with names like that. And so, man, she was struggling, and I was struggling. I was just struggling just a tad bit less. And she finally had enough of my poor leadership and my poor attitude. And back then, I mean, my default mode, I'm a man. I just reverted to my default mode. So instead of being encouraging and helpful, I'm like, come on, woman, let's go. And I saw a side of her I hadn't seen up to that point. I said something stupid. She responded. And it was just I'll just say it this way. It wasn't a great night on the honeymoon that night, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. But we've continued to ski, and we do it with our family now. And our skills have improved a little bit because we don't do it that much. But we can do, there's greens, blues, and blacks. And we can do the blues now. But what happened was we had to increase our skiing skills. And you'll find that marriage is a lot like that. And if you're having difficulty in marriage, it's not a sign that you married the wrong person. It's just God's way of telling you, you need to develop some new relationship skills. Because as you get married, it's kind of really slow in the beginning. It's just you and the spouse. You know, in the beginning, everything is easy. The first week at work, your new job, it's awesome. The first month at a new church, man, this is I found it, the perfect church. They love me. Well, just keep on coming. Just keep coming. You're going to find we all have issues. There's no perfect church, no perfect pastor. No perfect anything. There was only one perfect person. His name was Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, and you're not him. You got to keep reminding yourself. There's only one perfect person, and we're not him. Man, we love date night. And now when you try to discuss where you're going to go and eat, you have a fight. You used to love holidays, and now you dread them. Oh, my God, I cannot believe you're spending whatever, a day, an afternoon, 3 or 4 hours with her family, his family. I don't know if I can handle it. And so what happens is, you have to develop these relationship skills. Kids come along, and life begins to accelerate. I mean, you know what? We've been married 27 years. I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look it, but I'm 56 years old. And it's amazing how fast life is going by. I mean, I've been the pastor at our church now for almost 20 years. I've got a son. I'm employing. All my children work for me now. You know, and I think about it. It seemed like it was just a couple of days ago where... You know, we were just starting. We were on the, we were in Steamboat Springs just enjoying our honeymoon. And I'll tell you what, the steepness, as things accelerate, you got to have some better relationship skills. And that's why, marriage can be like a ski slope. And if you've ever been, you either get better or you get hurt. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You get better or you get hurt. So let me leave you. Let me spend the rest of my time with this. Here's some things that I can do starting today. Because, a lot of times the problem is this. There becomes a lot of hurt in our life and things that have been done in the past. But you cannot go back and undo what's been done. Come on, can I hear an amen? So what you have to determine to do is I'm going to start doing some things maybe differently from today forward. From today forward, I'm going to make some choices. Here's the first thing I would encourage you to do. Number one, choose to work on you instead of working on us. Because everybody knows working on us is code for I'm trying to change you. And that's what everybody says. We need to work on us. And really, it's code, and they mean I'm trying to change you. Let me just share this with you. When we try to change each other, we have the best intentions, but we actually have the worst results because you're sending the message to the other person that you're not okay the way you are. You're broken. There's something wrong with you. And actually, you're hurting your relationship. So choose to work on me. Because I have found, now listen, this will help you if you'll listen to me. Been married 27 years, been a pastor for 20 years. I've had some of the same staff work for me for a long, long time. Here's what I've learned over the years. I cannot make anybody do anything. The only thing I have any kind of control over is me. So choose to work on me. I just choose to work on me. Here's the second thing. Work on the process that got me here, not on the outcome. Choose to work on the process. You are where you are today with friendships, financially. You're where you are today relationally. You're where you are spiritually, not because of a process that you followed. Work on that process. If you want a different outcome, it's a process. I've found this out, that God works in our life. He works in a process. I would love it if I could pray for you today and boom, God would fix everything about you. But that's typically not how God works. God typically works through relationship. And he typically works in us, and it's over the process of time. You read that phrase in the Bible, and over the process of time, and over the course of time, and over the course of time. You know, our church, when I took over our church, it was not only was it not the church, I have to be careful how I say this. I can be a little more free here because my dad won't be in the audience today. Because my dad was the senior pastor before I was. And when I took over the church was not even the church I wanted to go to. It was not the kind of church I wanted to raise my family in. I had a vision for what it could be. So how did we get there? Now I pastor the church I like to go to. How did I get there? Some of you are like that. You know, are you in a marriage that you would like to be in? Are you in a friendship that you would like to be in? Are you in a job situation you'd like to be in? You can get there if you will just have a vision, but you've got to go through the process. The process every day. That's why I said show up. How did we get there? We had this vision, we believed God, and we just showed up every day, every Sunday, every small group semester, every invitation. And I grabbed hold to this phrase that the best is yet to come. I grabbed hold to this phrase that the best is yet to come, which is really just a faith statement that God's working in my behalf. Do you believe God's working in your behalf today? God is working. You may not feel it, you may not see it, but God's working in your behalf. But typically, it's along the line of a process. That's why get in a small group. You're going to run it for a semester. You're not in this thing for a lifetime. It's a semester. You know, serve. Get involved in next steps. Be faithful to church. Come on Sunday. And even though, you know, one particular Sunday you may say, I don't, you know, what was the point? I'm telling you, God's doing more than you know. God's doing more than you know. Here's the third thing that I would encourage you to do. From this day forward, I'm going to work on me, not us. I'm going to work on the process that got me there, got me where I'm at today. I'm going to have a better process. If you have a better process, you'll have a better product. The third thing is this. Look to God for validation and not to your spouse. I'm telling you, we put so much pressure on our spouses. We put our self-esteem. We make them responsible for our self-esteem. We make them responsible for our happiness. We make them responsible for our identity. We make them responsible for our hopes and dreams. We make them responsible for our financial goals. We make them responsible for our life purpose. We make them responsible for our security. And that is way too much pressure to put on someone. In fact, where should you put all those? You put all those in Christ. You put all those in Christ. If you put all those in Christ, he's the only one that can carry all of that stuff. Because anyone else you force to carry that kind of stuff, they are going to eventually resent you for doing that. Psalms chapter 73, verse 22 says, I saw myself so stupid and ignorant. I must seem like an animal to you, God. You know, that's many times that's how we see ourselves. We have this wrong opinion of ourselves. And so we meet someone and they tell us we're pretty. They tell us we're funny. They tell us we're attractive. And we think we're falling in love. But really what they're doing is they're just kind of meeting our insecurities. And here's the problem is what we do is we're actually falling in love with ourselves. Tell me again that I'm attractive. Tell me again how pretty I am. Tell me again how funny I am. And we put our spouses into this unwinnable position of having to, you know, meet all of our needs that really only God was supposed to meet. You know what? We've got to lovingly choose that, you know what? I'm going to encourage you to find your security in Christ, to find your identity in Christ, to find your purpose in Christ, to find your self-esteem. Yeah, I'm going to tell you when you do something good. Again, remember what I started off with. If you have a good thought, if your spouse does something awesome, write them a note, send them a text, tell them, grab their hand, look them in the eye, and pay them a genuine compliment. We have to do those things. But I'm going to encourage you to find your security, your identity, your purpose. I'm going to encourage you to find that in Christ. And more than that, I'm going to model it. I'm going to find my security in Christ. I'm not going to be needy. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be insecure. I'm going to find what I need in Christ. I'm going to model it for you. And I tell you what, if we'll do that, you know what, our marriages will grow. Here's the last thing that I would tell you, is that all growth in relationships is going from who you naturally are to who you naturally aren't. We know who you naturally are. That's where you are today. But the promise of God is supernatural. In fact, Paul said that we're being conformed into the image of Christ. I love what Romans 12:2 says. It says, he says, you're transformed by changing. And here's the key thing, changing the way you think. You got to change. My dad was from the old school. I had to change the way I thought about women. Because what worked in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, my wife didn't grow up thinking that way. You're transformed. See, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to change you from who you naturally are, because that's our default excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus came so that you could go from who you naturally are to what you naturally aren't. And that's the good news. Because if you rely on what you naturally are, it's too easy for the enemy to tell you, you're not good enough. You're not talented enough. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. But with Christ, all things are possible. Let me just kind of land this plane with this from the rest of that verse. It says, verse 23, it says, but even so, you love me. It's from the Psalms. You're holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me all of my life with your wisdom and counsel, and afterwards receive me into the glories of heaven. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire no one on earth as much as you. My health fails, my spirits droop, yet God remains. He is the strength of my heart, and he is mine forever. But those refusing to worship God will perish, for he destroys those serving other gods. But as for me, I get as close to him. I get as close to him as I can. I have chosen him, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful ways he rescues me. I get close to him. I'm telling you, the way that you can have a better relationships across the board. And God's using your friends, your spouse. He's using your parents. He's using your children. He's using your coworkers. He's using your small group buddies. He's using the people at church. He's using your pastor. He's using all of these people to take you from who you naturally are to a person that you naturally aren't. I want you to bow your head this morning as we're coming to a close this morning. Father God, I pray, God, for relationships at Emerge Church. God, I'm just going to just pray prophetically and speak prophetically over them. That's what is emerging, is God-centered relationships based on what Jesus has done for us. And Father, you are transforming us as we pray, as we read our Bible, as we fellowship and gather with other people. God, as we listen to people teach the Word of God. God, you're helping us go from what we naturally are to who we naturally aren't. God, I'm speaking growth and transformation over every family, over every person in this house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want you to keep your heads bowed. Let me just ask you this question. If you're here today and you are not where you need to be with the Lord, I'd like to give you the opportunity to make that right before you leave. Maybe at one time you knew the Lord. Look, I'm not asking you what your denomination is. I'm not asking you about your church membership. That's all fine and well and good. But what Jesus is interested in is relationship. And if you do not have a life-giving, alive, you talk to him, he talks to you, kind of relationship with Jesus, I would like to invite you and pray for you to have that kind of relationship. The Bible says it's closer than you think. It's just, all you have to do is just ask. And if that's you and you'd like to, and you say, Scott, that's me, I, the Holy Spirit's dealing with my heart right now, just shoot your hand up right now so I know who to pray for and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Is there anybody else I can pray for? I saw a hand. Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You say, that's me, Scott. I want you to pray. I want you to include me in this prayer. Amen. All right. Come on, lift up your eyes. Look at me. I saw two hands. Come on, that's a good day when two people make a decision to get right with God. Come on, let's pray this. Across the room, out loud, this is for the two of you that raised your hand. Say, Jesus, today, I put my faith in what you did in your life, your death, and most of all, your resurrection. You made a way for me to have relationship with God the Father and to be a part of his family. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys this morning.